This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
A little less straight than other radio stations. Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to The Informer. Dean Beck with you. Tonight on the show, we have our second episode focusing on the Senate. With the election ahead this weekend, your vote is more important for the LGBTI community than ever. Tonight on The Informer, we will take a look at four people wanting your vote in the Senate. Professor Dennis Altman joins us. He's co-host for the night. So welcome, Dennis.
Hey, Dean.
Good to have you back on the program and looking forward to your expert comments on the weekend as we bring our listeners the poll by poll coverage.
And I suspect we're not going to know till for some time, and certainly not for the Senate.
Indeed. Now, our first guest is a current senator. His policy platform is based more on an ideology than it is on single policies. Senator Ricky Muir, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
How's it been?
Good, yeah. It's been certainly a whirlwind journey. It's a worthwhile one at that.
And also joining us is the founder of the Australian Secular Party, Dr. John Perkins. Welcome to you.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Now, this isn't your first time running for a candidate.
No, this is actually our fourth time.
Fourth time.
Standing as an election.
Rightio. Yes. Senator Muir, what has been the biggest challenge for you to date?
Probably the whole media whirlwind right in the very beginning. Not being somebody who's familiar with how to conduct myself in the media, coming out and being attacked by certain aspects of the media, perhaps maybe some of the more elitist parliamentarians. But it was a challenge that I was able to overstep and be able to take the role on quite seriously.
I was going to ask you, Ricky, if you look back, you've now been in the Senate 3 years, what do you think has been your greatest achievement?
If I was ever to scale things on high visibility things that have been a really strong achievement, without a doubt, stopping 33 children from being returned to Nauru is a massive achievement that, you know, I can leave Parliament knowing that I really achieved something. I've met several of those people, and they really appreciate the decision that was made on that day. So, there's a lot of other things, but that's the big keynote thing that I'm really proud of.
And I think that's interesting because it's not, of course, what we knew about you before you were elected. But I'm actually going to ask you one question which relates to something we do know about you, and that is, has your position on gun control been at all changed by the events in Orlando a few weeks ago?
No, look, in Australia, we have everything's completely different in Australia. We actually have gun laws in place, or firearm laws in place. And what we seem to see when it comes to Australian firearm laws now is very emotive groups coming forwards with a lot of misinformation. And whenever you try to put the facts out there, it's broken down. And I don't conscribe to that sort of argument debate. I don't do it on marriage equality. I don't do it in immigration. And I won't do it with firearms. We certainly should focus on the illegal and criminal aspect, absolutely. And that's where I think all the resources from the pro-firearm groups and the anti-firearms groups and government should go to, the criminal aspect.
John Perkins, the Secular Party is, I guess, focused on getting religion out of politics and out of that framework. You support a ban on burqas.
Well, it's not a major part of our policy. I wouldn't say it is a ban on burqas, but we do have a policy which says that under certain circumstances, for security reasons, people should be asked for the burqa wearer to remove the burqa. I mean, if you go into a bank or obviously for passport control, things like that. So, yeah, that's the extent of our policy.
And you also want to turn the drug issue into a health issue rather than a focus on policing.
Yes. I think a lot of evidence shows that treating the drug issue as a medical problem for treatment rather than a criminal problem for prosecution is the best way to deal with it.
John, I think we had on this program last week the person leading the sex party ticket in the Senate election, and it occurs to me that there are a lot of crossovers between your position and the position of the sex party. And I guess my question is, why do you bother? You've done this a few times. Realistically, you're not going to be elected. Why are you running?
Well, yes, I get asked that question. Well, we've actually been going longer than the sex party, but unfortunately we don't have the financial resources, the backing from the Eros Foundation and so forth. So, yes, there is a lot of overlap between our policies and, well, I'm gratified that they've come to support a lot of our positions. But we do have, I think, some differences. I think we go a little bit further in terms of trying to guarantee secularism, standing up for the principle. We might agree on making the tax breaks that religions get, making them not exempt, and let the non-charitable aspects of religion pay tax. Or non. The other aspect is in schools. We are particularly against indoctrination of children in schools. Go further in terms of defunding religious schools, which would save the government about $11 billion, and also just protecting children from indoctrination in schools and guaranteeing freedom of thought and religion. That's our main theme.
Ricky Muir, your party believes in a sense of family, mateship and community. What is your position regarding LGBTI people and marriage equality?
Look, back in the 2013 election, the issue was brought up. We actually, the party founder, actually spoke to an LGBTI community-based radio station.
There's only one. That's us.
It may well have been you.
I
can't remember. But you know, the answer is really straightforward, and it's absolutely as per my belief as well, and that is, as motor enthusiasts, we want to live our lifestyle without judgment, and who are we to judge others? And the reality is, you know, if the question was ever to come to the Parliament, and I was hoping it would in my term of Parliament, unfortunately they've cut that short by 4 years, but I always said if it came down to a decision and I was the deciding vote, marriage equality would absolutely happen in Australia. And I think at the end of the day, this is a marriage equality and this whole argument and debate is always brought on around election by a couple of parties who may be pro or against. And I feel that there's so many people's emotions who really get played with and toyed with at this time, at an election every year, and it needs to stop. We just need a resolution and to move forward as a society. And
I suppose the question that a lot of our listeners will have is, if you are re-elected to the Senate, would you vote against having a plebiscite in order to force Parliament to actually resolve the issue?
So I came out in support of a plebiscite quite a while ago when the Greens actually moved that motion. It was spoken about in the media, and the more I thought about it, the more I decided that, you know, this needs to be a vote on the floor of Parliament. Because at the end of the day, we actually have parliamentarians now coming out saying, we need to have a plebiscite, we need to have a plebiscite. And then saying to the media, even if the plebiscite says, yes, we're going to vote no anyway. So, you know, it needs to come down to the floor of Parliament and be resolved.
And John, I guess the secular party would agree with that?
Oh, definitely. We stand for equality. It's really a matter of religious prejudice, I think, and bigotry that the only argument is really against gay marriage that you can put up. So, and I think the plebiscite is a complete waste of time. It's an abdication of responsibility. So I hope that the Parliament's elected and doesn't go through it and has a free vote in the floor of Parliament.
In fact, you have quite a few LGBTI-friendly policies, including lesbians' availability to receive IVF and anti-homophobic education. Safe schools, I suppose you'd support that too.
Yes, absolutely. And, well, one of our founders is also in the LGBTI community, so we've inherited a lot of good policies from that era.
Ricky Muir, you sound a little bit defeatist. Would that be the... would that be the right word for it?
No, the closer we get to the election, I mean, we're only a couple of days out now, the more excited I get.
Okay.
I am thinking that I'm going to have that moment where I can look down the barrel of the camera and say to the Prime Minister, you know, the public have given the Parliament a mandate, and that is for diversity. And I hope, I really honestly hope that that's going to be the outcome. And I'm feeling more and more confident every single day.
Very good. John, where do your preferences go?
Well, we preference on principle, basing on the like-minded nature of other parties. So, yeah, I guess we'd have to preference the sex party fairly highly. Personally, I'd favour the Greens in ahead of Labor and Liberals. But generally, we would support other minor parties first. I'd recommend people fill out their ballot papers intelligently and give the minor parties a go, because, you know, that's what really can guarantee a vibrant democracy in Australia.
Well, I'm sure Ricky's going to agree with that, but I think it is worth reminding listeners yet again that it's a very big Senate paper, right? And people do have the option of either voting for six of the parties, right, above the line, or alternatively going below the line and voting 1 to 12.
At least.
Come on, Ricky, in you come.
Six minimum above the line.
Yes.
There is a little bit of misinformation going around, mainly driven by the government, 1 to 6. Don't do 1 to 6. Go to 6 minimum and keep going as far as you possibly can. If you just stop at 6 and you only voted for minor parties, your vote might stop and be exhausted. Make it count. Keep numbering in an order, in a preference that you choose. No longer the parties, it's up to you.
And where do your preferences go?
It's completely up to the voter at the end of the day, under the new system. So I've given some recommendations of a couple of parties, and some people might say, why? And sometimes it's better the devil you know. So I get along really well with Senator John Madigan. Unfortunately, for the LGBTI community, he might have different views than me. But in other areas, he's very, very supportive and generally a very thoughtful candidate. But then there's, like, the Liberal Democrats. They might be economically a lot different than a lot of us would like them to be, but socially, they're quite responsible. And it was sticking with people that I know, that I've been able to deal with. But then, it really, at the end of the day, trying to put the message across to the voter, you don't have to pay any attention to my how-to-vote card, or the Labor's how-to-vote card, or the Liberals. You choose in your own chosen order.
I think, Dean, given we've now got two other candidates in the studio, it's actually really worth reinforcing what Ricky just said, because what we were saying last week is I would really encourage people to look carefully, and particularly if you're voting for a major party, remember you don't have to necessarily vote in the order the party has listed their candidates. And I think it's very important for some of us to actually look closely at some of the individuals on those major party tickets.
John Perkins, in 30 seconds or less, why should our listener vote for the secular party?
Well, we want to get religion out of politics. We want to have secular schools. We want to support the funding of government schools and make religions pay tax that they don't currently pay, which they should.
Senator Ricky Muir, why should we be voting for the Australian Motorist Enthusiast Party?
Considering the party that we're in, I think pro-marriage equality would be a very good start, pro-personal choice, and the party has given me the ability to be able to vote on the conscience, on the merits of the bill that's been put forward at the time. I think that's a key part of democracy that a lot of parties miss out on.
Ricky Muir, John Perkins, good luck in the forthcoming federal election this weekend.
Thank you.
You are with Dean Beck and Professor Dennis Altman on The Informer. Our next two Senate candidates, one of which you will know and know well. He's spent 30 years, or he's spent nearly 50 years as a broadcaster, actually, in TV, in radio, and he has a very popular internet blog. He is, of course, Darren Hinch from the Justice Party. Welcome to you, sir.
Good evening.
And also with us tonight is a man that many in our community will know. He is the founder and leader of the Australian Equality Party, Jason Toison-McShane. Welcome to you.
Thanks, Dan. Good to be here.
Darren Hinch, let's start with you. Mm-hmm. Your policies, for some, might be a little challenging.
Why?
Well, I think capital punishment is...
Not one of our policies.
Isn't it?
No. Capital punishment will never come in Australia again. Both Labor and Liberal federal governments have made sure that's there. It's not one of our policies.
So, okay, well, let me put it another way.
Sure.
Why should...
Ask me personally, do I believe it? In some cases, yes, I do, but it's not a policy.
Okay, therein lies my challenge. why should someone vote for someone who's got a long record of, I guess, criminal convictions?
Because of the reasons I got those criminal convictions, because I went to jail for naming convicted sex offenders, for contempt of court, on issues like that. We're not just... I know the Fairfax Press call me the anti-pedophile candidate. We're not. I mean, that's one of our issues. I've been pushing for years for a national public register of convicted sex offenders, and we've got 160,000 signatures on that petition. And that's probably got me into politics, because I did the last time I was in jail, so to speak. After that, we did a walk, a 180-kilometre walk from Langi Kau Kau Prison to Parliament House here, and presented those 160,000 names. And out of that, we got into other issues. But we're not one issue, and we've got dying with dignity. Voluntary euthanasia is a huge issue. I've been, since 1981, I've been opposed to live exports, so I've been fighting that issue for 35 years. And equal rights, equal pay, same-sex marriage, those issues.
Jason Tozer-McSheen, your party's been... the Equality Party has been accused as being a one-issue party, a marriage equality party. Why should people be interested in that singular issue? There's lots of other issues. There's the economy. There's the injustice of asylum seekers.
Well, we're not a one-issue party, you know that. We want to play in the human rights, fairness and equality areas, and we think in the Senate that's a missing voice, and we want to approach all legislation from those perspectives. Three of the things that we're really passionate about are LGBTIQ equality, so not just marriage equality, but the other 23 areas for us to be fully included. But we want a human rights charter, which we don't have, as one of the few Western countries that not have one. And we believe in gender equality as well. It's very important.
Can I take up the... because you've both, in a sense, talked about issues that one would think of as human rights issues. So can I ask you both where you stand on offshore detention, where there is a clear difference between a lot of the minor parties, including the Greens, on the one hand, and the two major parties on the other?
There's even a dispute inside the Labor Party on what their position is. It's not one of our policies, but I would say I support both major parties, offshore processing, but I'd like to see faster work done speeding up on processing of children.
Well, we have a policy around that. First of all, we believe we should have onshore processing and we should fulfil our international obligations. We also think immediately we should stop sending LGBTIQ people to countries where they are under threat for their safety and well-being.
Yes, I think that's a really important point, Jason. I was going to ask Darren about that because I don't think most people out there are aware of the fact that some of the people being held in detention are being held in detention in countries in which they are criminalised, even though they have sought refuge precisely because their sexuality is criminalised. So, Darren, how would you respond to that?
That's hard. That is hard. I mean, I agree with you on that. The same argument we put forward as to why how Christians could be sent back to a country, say, where they are being persecuted. So I think you're put in the same boat. And yes, I agree with you.
Darren Hinch, you want bail reform, parole reform,
yep.
I guess, under the justice framework. We get that. There is some fear around your ability to name and shame under parliamentary privilege. Is that something you're looking forward to?
I wouldn't say looking forward to it. It's an awful issue. If, as a court of last resort, I don't want to say fear, yes, I would do it. But only, and people say I won't be a cowboy, I mean, I won't be a kangaroo court, I would only name people who have been convicted of criminal offences. I think at one stage when I was doing the Hinch program on television, we used to call Adelaide Suppression City. Melbourne has supplanted Adelaide as suppression city, and they throw out these suppression orders like confetti. And I think they are wrong. That's why I did 5 months of house detention. I named two of the worst sex offenders in Australia on the steps of Parliament House. So I did 4,000 other people, but they decided that they'd prosecute me. On that basis, if I thought children were at risk, yes, I would. And also, if I thought I would name a judge if I thought that judge whose name had not come out, who'd made some appalling decision. Yeah.
Jason Tozer-McSheen, we've had many children in our community and our community, I guess, bastardised by the inference by the Catholic Church. Many of those children have been abused by Catholic priests. Is this something that we should be supporting, do you think?
Absolutely not. I think Mr. Hinch went to jail because he broke the law, and I think that it's important that we uphold the laws that we have in this country, and I think they... we have laws in place, and I'm worried actually that he might get into Parliament and actually start naming and shaming people under parliamentary privilege.
First 30 years, I went to jail, yes, for breaking the law, because a Catholic priest named Michael Glennon had done a year in jail for the rape of a 10-year-old girl and came out and was still a priest and was running a camp for kids, often Aboriginal kids, in Lancefield out here.
Let's take it back to LGBTI.
I went to the
You have no policy around changing the... the way that LGBTI people are sent to Manus Island and to Nauru at this point in time.
Yeah, I do not know. I'm not across those details.
Let's understand that. So you might have, you know, on the surface, marriage equality pro stance, but at the end of the day, your issues around LGBTI inclusion are very shallow. And these are things that if you're going to be a senator, you need to understand them, because there's over 1.5 million Australians who are LGBTI, and they have an important voice, and they are being abused. And so when they go back to those countries, they are being abused, and you need to care about them as much as you care about anyone else.
But the two major laws in place, and you should obey the law, as far as I'm concerned.
I want to switch the discussion away from this, because what's really struck me about both of you is really interesting use you've both made of media in your campaigning. I mean, Jason, I've been very struck. I'm not going to give away. I've seen your ads on sex apps like Grindr, which are very interesting. And I noticed that the Greens are also using Grindr at the moment to reach gay men. I doubt they're reaching very many lesbians
headline,
with Grindr.
Altman's on Grindr.
That's fine. I don't think it's a headline. I mean, but of course, the Murdoch press is now resorting to almost anything. But I mean, Darren, you were up there coming into this campaign with a very big recognition factor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll be honest, I have a deep prejudice against people who set up parties that they name after themselves.
Mm, so do I.
Thank you.
So do I. You know why? I'll give you an example here. When I went the last October, I set the party up. I went and sat down next morning with a coffee with a friend who knows politics. I said, "Well, I've named the party." And he said, "What are you going to call it?" I said, "The Justice Party." Mm-hmm. He said, "You won't get elected." And I said, "Why not?" He said, "The Justice Party is animal justice. Is this, is that?" He said, "You've got to call it the Darren Hinch Party, because that's a brand. People know what you stand for. They know who you are. They know the issues. It's like having cornflakes without Kellogg's." So I went home and said to my goddaughter, who'd voted for the first time in the last election, and I said, "Sorry, Ellie, but who did you vote for in the Senate?" And she said, "Well, I saw 60, 70 names. I didn't know anybody." And then I saw the Animal Justice Party, and I thought, "I like animals, so I voted for them." So I went back and said, "Okay, it's the Darren Hinch Justice Party." There's the answer.
Similar question to Jason Twazon McSheen. Your party is called the Australian Equality Party, and yet on the Senate ticket it has got marriage equality, which has got nothing to do with your name.
That's our abbreviation for this election, and we felt it was very important.
He was convinced by a political operative that would get, they'd get more votes if they put the word marriage in there.
No, in fact, it's absolutely not true.
Like you were regarding the Darren Hinch.
No, absolutely not true. Marriage equality is one of our cornerstones. And we have that's one of the things that we want to see change. As a man who's been married for 16 years non-legally in this country, it's very important to me, and it's very important to our community, and it is that frontal beachhead that everything goes behind
now. But Jason, were I an ALP hack, which I'm not, I would immediately say to you, if you actually really think that is the most significant issue, isn't it better to do everything you can to elect a Labor government, given that the Labor Party clearly are now so committed to changing the marriage?
But that's the lower house. I mean, we're the upper house here, and
well,
we've got
a
potential.
Both houses, yeah.
But we've got a potential plebiscite coming up if the Liberal Party go over the line, and the whole point of our party is to have an independent voice that champions LGBTI issues independently. We need that inside the Senate place.
I don't know whether this is a gotcha or a setup, but a listener has sent through, could you please ask Darren his opinion on cycling infrastructure and cyclists in general?
It's because Darren Hinch once was quoted saying on television that cockroaches on wheels. That's not a setup. They're entitled to. But the point was, the two things here. One is that what I was referring to, and a lot of law-abiding cyclists believe this, it's the guys, the cyclists, mainly men, who run red lights. They don't obey the rules that we all obey, and they just think that the road is theirs. Now, I'm not anti-cyclist. When I was on 3AW, I raised money for 11,000 bikes for underprivileged and handicapped kids over the years with our bike-a-thon. So, no, I'm not anti-bike, anti-cyclist at all. But I am against the ones who wear dark clothing at night, have less lights on their bikes than I had when I was a kid, and think red lights aren't for them.
Dennis.
We put the Cyclist Party in our top six on our How to Vote cards.
Well, I was actually going to ask Darren about his preferences, because I have...
Simple.
Yes.
You're not preferencing anyone. So to people, I'm lucky. I can say vote one Hinch, because we've got one on the Senate paper, and then you fill your own preferences.
Well, you're also lucky that Liberal and Labor have preferenced you fairly highly too.
Well, I think I got three on Labor and six on Liberal, I think, yeah. But I think Pauline Hanson, but I'm not sure. I haven't seen this proof, but I think Pauline Hanson may be number six or something. Can we go back to the plebiscite? This is a fascinating thing, because I want to ask you some questions here.
Very quickly.
Quickly about the plebiscite. People make a big deal about if we did it by Parliament doing it first and not the plebiscite. When they changed, under Howard, they changed the rules and put the man-woman thing back in. They didn't go and ask the public then what to do. So what's the big deal if Parliament did it now? I mean, when Turnbull got back in April, if he said, I'm going to do it, bang, let's go. And then
everyone in our community, I think, would support
that. Yeah, and it wouldn't be part of the election. You wouldn't have the fear and wouldn't have anything.
I suspect none of us are going to disagree with you, Darren, on that. Jason may want to make a comment, but I think
the plebiscite is a terrible, terrible idea.
But isn't it better? No, I'm really convinced here.
We want to know where your preferences are going, Jason.
So for LGBTI supporters and members, we recommend that you vote Labor in the lower house, and in the upper house you vote for us. Vote one, marriage equality. Vote number two, sex party. Vote number three, Greens. Number three, sex party. Cyclists, animal justice and arts were our 4, 5, 6. And they're the people we felt had, outside of the majors, who had the most pro-equality stance in regards to our policy platform.
Do you see the sex party today and the Herald Sun described me as Donald Trump with a beard?
Darren Hinch, in 30 seconds or less, why should our listeners vote for Darren Hinch's Justice Party?
Because it's just common sense. I think the issues that we're looking at, the 7 issues we're looking at, are good on law and order, on bail reform, on reforms like that. We do support same-sex marriage. I'm against the livestock trade, etc., etc. I don't need 30 seconds, that'll do.
Jason Twasson McSheen, why should the listener be voting for marriage equality?
Well, we're a community-led organisation who volunteered for 3 years, and we've given ourselves a real chance to win and have a voice for LGBTI people, but also a voice around human rights, fairness and equality. And we actually can win. If you vote one us and put your other favourite party number two, we're in on Saturday. And it's actually down to either the sex party, Hinch's party, Muir's party, Family First or us. So vote one marriage equality.
Jason Twasson McSheen, Darren Hinch, thank you so much for joining us on The Informer.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Well, Dennis Altman, that's it from us until Saturday, when you and I and Macca and Pete Dillon and the rest are talking about what has happened.
Indeed, and I think it's going to be a long night. I actually suspect, well, we've got two of the Senate candidates here, they're in for a long few weeks.
Of days, yeah.
And I think that, seriously, Jason made a prediction, and he may well be right. I think that the last two Senate seats in Victoria really are pretty well uncallable. And I wouldn't certainly be prepared to put money on it.
Ricky Muir got a chance?
Probably not. I think that if he had drawn first on the ballot paper, which Darren did, I would be saying he does. And I actually owe one of our listeners two lemon tarts because I bet her that Ricky Muir would get re-elected. But this is before Darren put his hand up, and I think that's changed the possibilities.
Dennis Altman is the compositor, compiler of a book titled How to Vote Progressive in Australia, Labor or Greens. Thank you very much for joining us over the last 2 weeks. And there will be a podcast of tonight's interview available for download from Joy's website, joy.org.au/The Informer. I'm Dean Beck. You can follow me on Twitter at Dean Beck on air, or you can follow The Informer at The Informer Joy. Till next time, you keep well, take care, bye-bye.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.